Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic.
The Letter, our very, very popular podcast host Amy Donaldson dropped a brand new episode for a brand new season today. I listened to it this morning. It is a case that happened in Utah many, many years ago in the early 1980s. And wow, that first episode. Amy, I can't wait for the second episode. But can I just give them a little bit of the backstory?
Yeah.
Dave, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it, but it dropped this morning, right? First thing this morning. I think you said your mom got a hold of you at 2 in the morning to say she'd already listened to it.
She lives in Alaska, so she's on that.
Okay.
She's a couple hours behind, yeah.
But it's the story of it starts out as the story of a man named Jordan Rasmussen, just a wonderful father, ends up, he's an accountant up at Log Haven Restaurant up in Mill Creek. I mean, we're all familiar with Log Haven Restaurant at Mill Creek Canyon. Mm-hmm. Well, he ends up being shot to death. And at this point, we don't quite know why, but this is a segment of the first episode of season 2 with his wife, Deanne.
Not long after Jordan left home the morning he died, Deanne Rasmussen woke her children for the day.
Jordan told me that he would call me. I called down to his office. They said, no, Jordan hasn't come in yet.
But mom duties beckoned.
And shortly after 11:30, my doorbell rang. So I got up, opened the front door, and I just knew. They said, we have something terrible to tell you.
Amy, walk us through. How did you choose this story?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Dave, it chose me. I'm not kidding. I did not plan on making a second season of The Letter. It was such a unique story about people who were so generous. I was like, nobody's ever going to do this again with me. And so I was moving on to a sports podcast, and former prosecutor, you probably know him, John T. Nelson, one of the most well-known, most beloved figures in Utah criminal justice system. He reached out to me and said, hey, I know a similar story. I don't know if you're going to do any other, episodes or whatever. And I said, not really. I mean, there's one letter, right? And so weirdly, a little back and forth, a little conversation, talked with the family, was thinking about just doing a single episode about their story, realized that there is a connection, that there was another letter, totally different circumstances, much more complicated story. And it really got me thinking about forgiveness in a way that I had not, which is like you think forgiveness is this personal decision that you make about your life. And then what happens is you don't realize that's going to ripple through not just your immediate family, but through your extended family, your friends, and in this case, to strangers. And so I just started becoming, and again, I thought we don't talk about grief and loss and resilience and forgiveness enough. And so I was, I was tired. It's a heavy subject, but I was also like really, really grateful to have that conversation with new people, new families and new attorneys, and including, surprise, surprise, my husband is a defense attorney in this case.
Oh, Ed. We get to hear from him.
You do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. This is going to take all kinds of twists and turns. And what was so heartbreaking about this first episode, can I just give a little bit away?
Sure.
Am I allowed to?
Absolutely.
Is that the family of the murder victim, the first murder victim we hear of Jordan, is so, I want to say, innocent in so many ways in terms of their, maybe it's a little bit of naivety toward a criminal that they actually try right away. Days, it seems like, after his body is found, to forgive by going to the old Met Hall downtown Salt Lake City.
You've been to many times. Yeah.
And you described it so well. It did take me back to the days when I used to cover crime and go to the cop shop down there, and I'll walk around, and the jail was underneath where all the detectives and police officers had offices. And they went to actually, they thought that this individual who had already confessed apparently was just be distraught and would realize the error of his ways. And
would need their sympathy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got a lesson really quick and evil.
Yeah. And I think that's actually, it was so amazing. Yeah. It was easy for me to see. I mean, I have people like this in my family, but also I covered crime and corrections like you did for 8 years. And one of the things you really struggle with when you're writing or covering crime is like, why do people do this? And you keep thinking that if you ask the right questions or enough questions, that you're going to get an answer that makes sense.
Oh, you just described to me why for so many years I've sat through one and a half, 2 hour interviews with criminals, because I probably think eventually they're going to tell me something that I consider to be a normal response.
Or a sympathetic response. Help somebody through this or prevent it from happening. We think there are, and I'm not saying there are not, because there are a lot of interviews I've done that were enlightening, that were helpful, that allowed me to do stories that were good. But I think the one thing that this family found out in the wake of Jordan being murdered was, everyone didn't see their brother the way they did. And people do bad things to good people all the time.
What have you learned about forgiveness? Because I would imagine, having delved so deeply and seen how devastating it can be for a family to see them work through these things, know the criminal aspect of it. What have you learned about forgiveness, just personally?
Well, the thing about, so when I started out, when I discovered these connections and thought, okay, this isn't, I don't believe in accidents, I'm going to look into this. My idea was to look at generational forgiveness. You make a personal decision, how does that ripple through your family? And then as I got into it, I started discovering that, like, this was a more complicated forgiveness story than the first season. And so I started to wonder, like, what if forgiveness isn't for the worst people in the worst situations, like, then who is it for? And who deserves it? Like, do you have to be remorseful? Is it something you have to earn? Or, like, is there, you know, a reason you do it that has nothing to do with the wrong that has been done to you, right? I just thought about it from all these different angles and in ways that I was like, you know, we think of it as such a simple thing, sorry, an acceptance of sorry or whatever, but it's really a lot more disconnected and in some ways connected and complicated. And so, yeah, we just sort of started getting into this, like, well, why and who deserves it? And you know, the conclusion I came to was, like, if it's not for people that you think are terrible and not sorry, then it's really not for anybody.
That's very profound. It's taken you 2 seasons to work
through
this.
Basically 6 years. Yeah. I mean, and I have struggled with forgiveness in my own life. I think everyone has.
Yeah.
So these are not, like, I haven't had anyone I love murdered, but I think everyone has had something bad happen to them or been wronged. And you've had to figure out, like, either how to go on or rebuild your life or forgive. And so I think I thought I understood it from my own life. And yeah, when you really delve into their lives, and they take you, and they're so generous, the Rasmussen family and the Booth family, everybody was so generous in revisiting a really painful, difficult thing, that then you realize, like, oh, we probably should look at this a lot more often than we do, and really a lot of different ways. I think people think of it as a religious construct. It's not.
It's not.
It's absolutely not. It is. And my husband, we did a bonus episode where he's going to talk about examples of forgiveness that he's seen in the criminal justice system that are just so moving. And so, like, they deserve their own season.
And he's been on the front lines as a defense attorney for as long as I can remember. Yep. So he's probably seen a lot. So Amy Donaldson, season 2 of The Letter, episode 1 is phenomenal. I texted you this morning. Sorry, it was a few hours after your mama texted you and told you good job. It was about 6:30 this morning, but I had to let you and Andrea, your producer, know that it was just phenomenal.
Andrea's a genius. Yes.
Well, she does
so
a
grateful.
Wonderful job. And then at the end of that episode, there is a surprise moment that I was like, what? I cannot wait. When is the second?
Every Tuesday.
Okay, every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, where can we find it? The full title is what?
This season is called Ripple Effect. And you can find it on any of your favorite podcast apps. You can go to theletterpodcast.com. We'll have stories on KSL.com and KSLnewsradio.com. And you can always reach out to me at AD on Sports.
Amy Donaldson, thank you.
Such a
great storyteller. Congratulations. It will be a fascinating podcast. Listen, folks, go ahead and give The Letter season 2 a try.
Straight ahead, former President Trump's hush money payment trial now in day 2. And guess what? Dozens of prospective jurors already been dismissed, saying, I can't be impartial. I just can't do this. Boyd's next with that.